For decades, Elizabeth Elliot has influenced many people through her books, timeless teaching, and courageous faith. Let's join Elizabeth now as she encourages us once again to live life to its fullest as disciples of Jesus Christ.
The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot telling you a little bit more of the story of our visit to Kenya. And I probably left some of you gasping yesterday when I said that we saw a baby lying alone in the middle of the sidewalk, and I tell you, I gasped, too. We were walking on the street in Nairobi, and lo and behold, here was this tiny baby, probably just a few days old, very neatly and cleanly wrapped, lying on its side in the middle of the sidewalk. And I mean, there were hundreds of people walking past, and I just gasped and stopped, and we were with a missionary, and I said to the missionary, "Look at this." And he said, "Oh, don't worry about it." He said, "The mother's watching somewhere." I said, "Are you sure?" And he said, "Yeah." He said, "You see this often." Well, I'm going to carry on reading from some of my journal. I woke on December 26th with the Te Deum. The Te Deum is an ancient prayer of praise. "We praise thee, O God. We acknowledge thee to be the Lord. All the earth doth worship thee, the Father everlasting. To thee all angels cry aloud, the heavens and all the powers therein. To thee cherubim and seraphim continually do cry, Holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth." Kenya is a beautiful country, and we had gorgeous weather. Sunshine, cool breezes, just absolutely perfect weather. And it happened that that morning Lars read to me from Psalm 104, which is a very long psalm, but it is a psalm of praise and it speaks greatly about God's creation. This is the way it begins. "Praise the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. He wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent and lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters. He makes the clouds his chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. He makes winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants." A beautiful psalm, Psalm 104. And then I tried to write in my journal as we were actually driving in a van. We had a driver who was going to be taking us to a place called the Ark, a hotel from which you can see wild animals. So as we were going north in the van, we stopped by a roadside. We buy mangoes and passion fruit. Next stop is a curio shop. I talk with four Kikuyus and one Maasai who all recognize my pendant. I wear a little brass pendant sometimes. It has five loaves and two fishes. And they all knew the story of Jesus turning the five loaves and two fishes into food for a multitude. Lunch here at a beautiful, elegant English stone lodge. Vast view north, west, and south. Mushroom soup served at the table first, then a sumptuous buffet. Tea outdoors. Two lovely Maasai girls joined us at a wooden table with four benches. They bowed their heads for prayer before eating. Weather is perfect. Warm sunshine, cool breeze, a luminous green satin bird hops on the lawn. Indians, English, Americans, French, Italian, Japanese, Slovak, and who knows what other languages we were hearing. An hour's ride in a rickety bus through lovely green countryside dotted with thatched houses and small farms brings us to the Ark, inside the Aberdare Game Park, which is fenced and guarded. Bush country threaded with game trails every 5 or 10 feet. A catwalk brings us to the Ark itself, a comfortable bedroom, a cell with two narrow beds. I hope I've made it clear that the Ark is the name of a hotel that's built on the edge of a salt lick and a waterhole. Afternoon tea in the viewing lounges overlooking the salt lick, where five Cape buffaloes browse sleepily. Two hairy bush hogs graze nearby, and the daintiest of all animals, a Thompson's gazelle, trots from the bush, pauses, great ears revolving, great soft eyes darting, then steps with queenly grace to the salt, licks and nibbles, warily lifts its head every moment, finally walks sedately back into the bush. Dark, bluish-purple doves, pigeons, mauve-breasted with a white collar, peck at the buffalo manure. Two large birds fly in and scare them all. The buffalo, who had lain down in the grass off to the side, return to the lick. They're caked with dry mud. Birds light on their backs and pick off parasites, I suppose. They almost peck at the eyes and mouth. O Lord, how marvelous are thy works! In wisdom hast thou made them all. The whole earth is full of the majesty of thy glory. We are asked to be very quiet. All the guests obey, speaking in whispers. At sundown, silently, majestically, with deliberate speed, come five adult elephants and a sweet little baby. They kneel and tusk the ground where the salt is, then sweep around with their trunks, curl them under, and lift the tip to their huge, drooping lower lip. The three females hover solicitously over the child. He scrapes his hind foot repeatedly on the ground. All are the exact color of the earth. They lift a clod of earth with the tip of the trunk, flip it into the cradle of the middle of the trunk, and then into the mouth. The child wedges himself between the mother's forelegs. She hugs him, barring his head from pushing further forward with her trunk. The baby shoves his little trunk up under his mother's armpit. She stretches one foreleg forward, and he nurses. All movement, including blinking, is slow and peaceful. They are in a hurry about nothing, anxious for nothing. Good lesson for all of us, isn't it? The Bible says, be anxious for nothing. December 27th, 1 a.m., the alarm bell rings in our room here at the Ark. We rush to the viewing lounge. Not one, not two, not three, not four, but five lionesses ranging back and forth on the far side of the mud area where the salt is. They sit and watch attentively. Suddenly, one rushes across the clearing, flattens herself in the grass at the edge of the bush. Soon, a male bushbuck moves slowly out of the forest and down the trail, straight toward the lioness. She springs, but a few seconds too soon. He escapes. She chases him into the forest, returns 15 minutes later with empty jaws. Two rhinos, two elephants, appear. The elephants flip their ears out and make a half-hearted charge, enough to send the rhinos galumphing off. When the lions tread on elephant territory, they are also sent packing. Two Cape buffalo come snorting out of the woods, and they and the lions take turns chasing one another, neither very seriously. One of the buffalo stumbles and falls. Lars and I watch with hearts in our mouths. Will the lionesses leap on him? They lope off and sit in the grass, shining white in the floodlights. They make numerous forays, hoping to get a meal. It's 3 a.m. now. I think I'll leave them. 5 a.m. Another alarm. Three huge male lions pacing about in the clearing. Great tawny manes, powerful shoulders, sinews rippling. 8 o'clock, we leave by bus for the Aberdare Country Club. Gorgeous weather, spectacular view. There are several cars in front of us. We stop. No one seems to know why. There is a long wait. We can't see the reason, but we learn later that a large lion was lying peacefully in the middle of the road and simply had no intention of moving. We drink coffee at the club. I walk out onto the golf course where baboons frolic and a family of magnificent elands grazes. Elands are, I think, the largest species of antelope. Peter, our driver, arrives at 10. We return to Nairobi. I sleep some on the trip. We buy curios en route. Now we are ensconced, as it were, in an empty apartment. The barest necessities of furniture. No drawers, no hangers, no locks on the outside doors so far. Lars amazed. I am reminded of such situations in Ecuador. Así es la vida, as we used to say, such is life in the third world. They don't even think that one is going to need a hanger for one's clothes. Well, that's the end of my journal. I'm talking about this trip that my husband and I had to Kenya for a speaking engagement. The only reason that we had time to make these amazing trips to see animals was because we couldn't get the bookings that we wanted to get leaving after Christmas. We had to leave before Christmas, and so we had a couple of days free to see these animals. You may have guessed, if you've been listening to Gateway to Joy for very long, that I love animals. And I've always felt very sorry for the animals in the zoo, although I love to go to zoos because I love to watch animals. But it is sad to see an animal in a cage. I love these zoos where they don't have cages. But to see the animals at close range, it was very difficult to remember that they were actually wild. Do you think about the creator of the elephant and the creator of the lion? What an imagination God had. What does he intend for us to learn from the animals? O Lord, how marvelous are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of the majesty of thy glory.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.